Ready? Well, praise God. He's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. You love the Lord this morning with all your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We've been talking about keeping the feast of unleavened bread. God's looking for a people that will walk without sin in their life. We understand that God does and will work through imperfect vessels, but God's ultimate plan, ultimate desire, His ultimate purpose is to have a people that are without spot, without wrinkle, a people that enter in to the fullness of His presence. Amen? And we've talked about this, that God has called us, He's marked us. We have to make our calling and election sure that He doesn't just choose arbitrarily. He chooses because He knows. And then that puts the responsibility upon us, whether we will or will not. When Paul wrote that the callings and giftings of God are without repentance, what he was really saying is, even if God called you, even if He knows that you won't fulfill the call, He won't undo the call. Right? And God's looking for a people who will follow Him all the way to where He is. They press toward the mark. They don't just think it in their minds. They don't just believe it and agree with it. They don't just know it, but they actually live it to their best ability. And they understand that they know in part, but God's desire is to reveal every aspect. Spirit, soul, and body. Amen? And one of the things I kind of just want to look at today, this morning, and one of the things that I was thinking about is how God calls everyday people. Everyday people. And one of the reasons He calls everyday people is because He knows that if they change, He's done the work. I still believe this. We sang it in the song there. There's no doubt in my mind. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. A people who humble themselves before God. You know, we'll sing a song about Him being the king, right? But if we really understand the aspect of what a king is, it means true submission to Him in every area of our life. And I like God because He sets up orders, right? To see if we'll follow orders. You know, we'll think nothing to back talk our parents, but we wouldn't do that to our boss. How do you spell God? P-A-R-E-N-T. How do you spell God? B-O-S-S. How do you spell God? P-A-S-T-O-R. It's just the way God is. It's the way God does. And what he's really trying to get you and I to understand is that he called us to keep the feast of unleavened bread as everyday people. Everyday people. Every day, keep the feast. Every day. Amen? Because a little what? Leaven does what? It wrecks the whole lump. Leaven isn't a loophole to do what I want. Freedom. Freedom, right? Liberty. Freedom. We can see even in our society, right, that we give people freedoms and what happens? People do whatever they want. And we end up changing things, right? The things that are good, we call bad, and the things that are bad, we call good. And you know, all those kinds of things, right? But the reality is, God's after a people. Two rows of loaves that are all identical. Why are there 12? Now, I know I asked a question a couple weeks ago how many there were. Why are there 12? Do you remember what I said about that? 12 is the number of governmental order. Where does governmental order begin? God, Christ. And then it works its way down. And God's after a new lump. A new lump. The Adam lump, right? See, there was nothing wrong with Adam, except for he chose to do what he wanted. God didn't make him imperfect. God made him with a will. Just like when we get born again, a will. Choose ye this day. My way, his way. Amen? But God's desire has never changed. It never changed when he made Adam. His desire was to bring the fullness of Christ into Adam, which would then cause the creation to come into order the way God wanted it to be. Hallelujah. That's true kingdom. True kingdom. The kingdom of God. We know that the creation is subject to vanity, what? Not willingly. Didn't choose to. But God waits. The creation waits. We groan for the what? The manifestation. The unveiling. Of what God really wants to do within a people. Amen? And so we need to purge out the old leaven, don't we? And we talked a little bit about, or somewhat about, what that leaven was. And you know, the one thing that we've done in this day and age is, and I suppose it's always been similar, but we have become experts through time. Humanity has, right? We have become experts in convincing others and ourselves what they want to hear, whether it's true or not. This is why God ponders the what? Heart. He looks at the motives. I like that. He looks at the intent, the desire. Because when God gets done, right, he will have a new lump. A church without spot or wrinkle. No leaven. Now, if we want to look at the positive side of leaven, the leaven will do what? Permeate. It's like the light. Brings light to the what? Whole house. Amen? God is after something. And we've also talked about diligently seeking His face. Not just His hand, but His face. Because God is looking for a people that know Him face to face. I think we've done well. We know a lot about God. But He really wants to know us. Or us really. He knows us. But that joint relationship together. Face to face. Do you have that hunger and desire yourselves? To the point where you will seek after, I think the writer wrote in Hebrews, diligently. Diligently seek Him. It's like there's nothing else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? So we need to purge out. Let us cleanse ourselves. Guard ourselves. Watch all the things that He tells us to do while we're pressing, pushing, seeking. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts. You know, I was reading about Elisha. He just went and he did some fantastic miracles in the whole works. And the next thing you know, there's a famine. A famine. Wait a minute. You know, on the journey, there's peaks and there's valleys. There's ups, there's downs. There's ins, there's outs. And the reason is you get to know God in every dimension of everyday life, in everyday people. This is what he's after. Amen? I'll just read this. I wanted to read this. It was interesting. I was thinking about this, you know, because we've been talking about purge out the leaven. And yesterday I was reading my Proverbs, and in chapter 18 in the Living Bible, I like this. The selfish man quarrels against every sound principle of conduct by demanding his own way. A rebel doesn't care about the facts. You ever meet people like that? I mean, they're truly rebellious at heart. They don't care what the truth is. All they want to do is yell. And sin, this is the kicker. Sin, what does sin mean? Missed the mark. And what is the mark? Christ. Sin brings disgrace. A little leaven. So Paul encourages us, doesn't he, to purge out. Purge out the old leaven of malice, right? And wickedness and, you know, I know we have our own definitions of what wickedness is, but and keep the feast. Without leaven, the bread of what? Sincerity and truth. No law will make you do it. It has to be in the heart. Listen, you can't eat bread or you won't eat bread if you're not hungry. You know, we could go and we could read all the verses, right? of the sluggard or the lazy man, right? And the reason he uses man, because he talks about maturity, right? That he'll do what? He won't do a thing in the day of harvest. By the way, just to let you know, harvest doesn't come in the Feast of Tabernacles. Harvest comes at the end of the Feast of Pentecost. Just like, when did they wave the first fruit? I told you. See, there's no sense, right? There's no sense sending some kid to the third grade if he doesn't understand second grade work. See, what we'd rather do is push people along in the church and let them get some position so that they can become somebody, when all God ever did was choose everyday people. Watch this. Ordinary people chosen by an extraordinary God. And the only way they ever become extraordinary themselves is when they die to themselves. How cool is that? Wait, let's find this. Let's go here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. I've really been reading Corinthians a lot. I don't really know why, but I've kind of enjoyed it. The condition of that church reminds me of a lot of people I know. Watch this, including myself. They had a lot of revelation. Oh, where do I want to start? You know, Paul's talking to them, and he's talking about that. He was glad that he didn't baptize any of the people there, except Crispus and Gaius, or I guess that's how you would say it, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Because remember that this church already had a problem with identifying with what they considered important people. Okay? Remember? One said, I'm of Apollos. Another said, I'm of Paul. Remember that? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Now, if I ask the question, what is the cross of Christ? What would we say? It's interesting that he didn't say the cross of Jesus. He said the cross of Christ. And if we know anything about Christ, we know that there's a what? Head and a body. So that must mean there has to be two crosses. Oh, wait, all the way back to the Passover when they had to put the blood on both doorposts. How many posts? Two, and one over the top. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Think about this. His cross, the work, allowed our cross to become everyday life. Pick up your cross and follow me. So for some folks, that was death, or it didn't mean anything to them, right? But to those that understood that they had to die daily, It became life. How many know that God's after more than just initial salvation? Right? It's more than just becoming a new creation and just getting in the door. That's the start of it. He chose you in Egypt, took you out of Egypt, right? And if you followed the path correctly, you put blood on the doorpost, you ate, you went through the Red Sea, Pharaoh died, and now God takes you on a wilderness journey. He leads you by fire, right? And he leads you by smoke, Holy Ghost. He leads you in a journey day and night as everyday people. And the whole time what he's doing is this. He's putting his laws in our inward parts and writing it on our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. And he's getting Egypt out of you. Purge out the old leaven. It doesn't matter if you were born in a Christian family, came from the world, came into the church, God's function is still the same. It's to bring a people to a place so that he can present. Listen, 1 Corinthians 15 says that he can offer up the kingdom. In other words, it can become a offering, and we went through the offerings, and what did an offering have to be or look like? It had to be perfect, had to be without spot, it had to be without wrinkle. Watch, David said it. There had to be truth in the inward parts. It couldn't just look good on the outside, it had to look good on the inside, didn't it? For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. Doesn't matter just because you were born in a Christian family or not. You still have to pick up your cross and let it become life to you. I know this has, you know, been heard before, but you can't have resurrection life without a what? A death. Okay, Lord, I'll say it. We won't do this if we can't stop murmuring and complaining. Quarreling, fighting, keeping our own selfish ways. Manipulating, trying to get people to... Do you understand what the main characteristic of Jezebel was? Control. I've told you this before. I learned this a long, 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 long time ago. God had to set me straight. I used to think Jezebel wanted to be in charge. She didn't want to be in charge. She just wanted to control Ahab, the king. And before any of us think too much, just remember, Jezebel lives within the confines of the carnal mind. If you don't think so, ask yourself this question. Why did Paul write to the Thessalonians, sits himself up in the temple of God, thinking that he is God? And the writer in Proverbs wrote, every man does what? Yeah. So this is what Paul is telling you and I. In this everyday life, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit. You see, before you ever can be a king like Simba, he's going to take you on a wilderness journey. How many has been like Simba? Fooled by the scar. And what is a scar? Something from the past. A wound from the past. Do you know how many believers have wounds from the past that are covered over with scars? And their attributes are always coming through. Help me, Jesus. Everyday people in everyday life have everyday occurrences. Some are good and some are not so good, are they? Watch, even the Bible says this, some are in our control and some are out of our control. We like control. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, I find it interesting that we've shortened up the preaching sessions in church. We've eliminated church service. We've done everything, but yet the scripture says it's the preaching. It's the declaring. Does it always have to be in this kind of setting? No, absolutely not. But I'm here to tell you, it's interesting to me that we'll send our little Billy and little Susie off to wherever and let them go through the process of schooling, right? For 13 years, and then because we really like wisdom, we'll pay. I literally saw this the other day. They said by 2025 or something like that? Not too far away. It'll be $500,000 to send your child through college. Because it's become a huge business, right? Everyday people. Are you against knowledge, Pastor? Are you against education? The Bible says we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I say, become as smart as you can. But make sure that God is still in charge of your life. Do you realize loving God and Him loving you has nothing to do whether there's leaven in your life? This is true. It really is true. I don't even know. It was like in the last 2 weeks. I remember I was just praying, blessing the Lord, you know, before I ate. And I said, Lord, thank you for the mercy of your provision. Because, I mean, just for God providing to you and I, shows His mercy. And He does that, whether you have leaven or no leaven in your life, whether you're a believer or not a believer in your life. That's who God is. So for us to get hung up on whether I love God or He loves us as like it makes an approval, it's incorrect. The unfortunate thing is, in the church, we have made success, natural success, as an instrument of approval, that God approves what I'm doing. If that was the case, explain to me how Ahab, the most wicked king of all of Israel, was one of the most innovative and knew how to do all kinds of stuff. It is true. They don't go together. How did Ahab get to know that? Because of God. It was his wisdom. Well, why did God give it to him if he was so wicked? It's just the way God works and functions, isn't it? Isn't it? For after that, in the wisdom of God, in the world, wisdom, okay, he's preaching. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign. That's the religious folks. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's the intellectual folks or the brain folks. Now, I have come to believe, personally, you do not have to believe this, that in this modern day and age, the Christian folks have combined the two spirits. It's both intellectual and they need to see something. Watch, can I say this? If you don't think I'm right, you make your own judgments, okay? Seriously, they showed the video the other day of the guy beating up the cop and the guy came and shot him. I don't know if you heard that or not. It was from November, right? The interesting thing is, in the article, you know, I don't know. You can't always know that they got all the details right. But they had all these 20-somethings and other people on I-75 in Florida, on the sides, and not one person called 911, but everybody was out with their phones. And you say, well, why are you saying that? Because I've seen enough video in churches that they talk about feathers coming down and gold dust and all this stuff, and nobody's saying, hey, this. They had their phones out, and this is why they could film it. Which is interesting because angels don't even have feathers. And if you can't spend gold, what do you need gold dust for? And does it change people's lives? And it's just people looking for things and intellect and doesn't change anything. It just gets people's emotions excited. And the worst part is, it's not even real. Because what becomes real is when God changes us in everyday life. Whether you've been to the mountaintop, or even if you make your bed in hell. Knowing Him. You know, it's funny when we sang that song about making an altar, right? You know what, making it, you know, my mind just went poing, it just sprung. That I thought about every time that they went somewhere on their journey, right? And, you know, remember Jacob wrestled with God and he built an altar there. And it was called Peniel, which meant what? Face to face. And so every generation that went through there understood. But those are moments in your life when you have an encounter with God and you built an altar. Listen, you don't remember every single thing that you've read or whatever, but there are moments that he builds altars. Or you build altars. And you have an encounter with God and you don't ever forget it. And why is that? Because when you get away from that, it becomes a landmark in your life. I told you, I always remember this, sitting in my dad's study, sitting on his chair, and just meditating and reading, and I came to the part in Philippians where he said that I might know him. Man, that's become an altar in my life. Jesus, it doesn't matter how much, you know, money he gives me, how much wisdom he gives me in being able to teach or preach or what, or not, no, that I might know him. They lived in dens and caves and they gave up deliverance for a what? better resurrection, purge out the leaven. I thank God he's taken the fight out of me. Is it all out yet? Oh, no, just anger me. You'll find out. Right? But you know why he takes the fight out of you? Here's why. So when you stand with Pilate and he says, don't you know I could let you go? And he says, no, you can't do a thing unless my Father gives you that authority. And Pilate was amazed because he never what? Defended himself. Not there yet. That I might know him. It's the cross, right? This is what saves us. It's foolishness. It's crazy talk to, unfortunately, most of the Christian community. But God wants a whole new lump, doesn't he? I'll bring you the good news. What's the good news? Hey, his cross in our lives brings resurrection life. He's commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Oh, wait, let's begin that chapter of 133 of Psalms. It begins in, oh, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together where? In unity. And Ephesians picks that up, that says true unity is where? Not in what we agree in philosophy or doctrine. That matters, but it's in spirit. I guarantee you, you can believe some of the things that I believe and not be with me at all. There's no doubt in my mind. Jesus, my children are that way. No doubt in my mind. Purge out the old. Leaven of what? Malice and wickedness. A new lump. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called. Both Jews and Greeks. Christ, I like that. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised has God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Any reason why? It's right there. So that no flesh will do what? Glory. Why no flesh? Flesh and blood will not, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. No flesh can glory. It has to be, doesn't it? Corey. Love you, buddy. Love you, buddy. You know, I was watching those boys back there roll around, and I was reminded of the video that Danielle sent the other day. It's, you know, one moment it's an up thing, and the other moment is like, ah, pull your hair out. I want to read this in the Living Bible, all right? Notice among yourselves, dear brothers, that few of you who follow Christ have big names or power or wealth. Can somebody explain to me why the church spends so much time trying to get people in those kind of things? The golden glory. Power and wealth. When all God ever looked for was everyday people. Do you know why he looks for everyday people? So he gets all the glory. And no flesh can glory. God never took the mantra. And don't get me wrong. Don't pick my words apart from my spirit. Be all you can be. The truth of the matter is, be all he wants you to be. We've never understood yet, as him being a king and we being his inhabitants, his subjects, his slaves, his prisoners, you don't get a choice. Other than saying yes to God. Just like you didn't get a choice to be my son, naturally. You didn't get a choice to be a male. You can't add one cubit to your stature. Right? You didn't get to choose the color of your hair. But when it comes to God and his kingdom, we don't get our choices other than to say yes. Are you with me? See, these are the little things in life, everyday life, during the journey through the wilderness. I'm not in a wilderness. Oh, we're in a wilderness. All the wilderness was an in-between place. Listen, if we've left one place and we're not quite fully in the other place, we're an in-between. What would Nathaniel call this? Middle Earth? Lord of the what? Rings. It isn't that God just took us from somewhere. He is taking us somewhere. The truth of the matter is the church really has never even fully experienced the full dimension of Pentecost. We really haven't. We've limited to a couple of gifts. Pentecost is much more than that. It's true. Because if we don't think so, we have the initial church in the first century. Jesus rose from the dead, and immediately what happened? 3,000 were brought to, because at the end of Pentecost is the Feast of Ingathering. It begins, so you had 3,000, 5,000, the next thing you know, there was all kinds of folks coming, and we went to Cornelius' house, and we all kinds of stuff was happening. Then all of a sudden we went through the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, and around 1500-something, Martin Luther declared, men shall live by faith. The just live by faith. And then God began to pour out his spirit, or resurrected, or whatever you want to say, in the early 1900s. Not that he never had remnants along the way, because even Elijah found that out, right? All those people, Even after the contest on Mount Carmel, most of them never turned to God, and they saw the fire of God. If you don't believe me, then why did God say, well, I have 7,000? He didn't say 7 million, or ever how big Israel was. He only said 7,000. It's because most folks, if Jesus was standing right in front of them, Jesus the man, we wouldn't turn. How do you know that, Pastor? He already proved it. But watch this. He already told us, I'm not coming that way again until you understand that I'm coming by the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Instead, God has deliberately chosen to use the ideas the world considers foolish and of little worth in order to shame those people considered by the world as wise and great. Do you know what would happen if we had a real Paul, a real Peter, a real Jesus preaching to us? We'd tell them they're mean. We would. We'd tell them they're mean. You offend me. But God says, I'm taking the foolish things to shame those folks. Because he knows that sin is a killer. I like the fact that people that think they know everything, how come God hasn't made them leaders? That's what I want to know. Everyday people with all the answers, and he's never made them a leader. They get people telling them how great they are so that they can go chase things. This is what I always love about my dad. I absolutely, not because he's my flesh and blood, but because he truly taught me a principle, and that's this. Once God puts you in a place, we don't change pastors. We change congregations. And he has way more experience than I do, and I've watched for 35 years somebody trying to take his job. I thank God every day that he's given me a wonderful paying job that I can pay my way. I don't have to worry about anybody. Because you know what the most important thing to me is? That we would know him face to face. I know a lot about him. And I've had some encounters with him. I mean, he made the smoke detectors go off in the house. And you were sleeping. Never heard it. Never happened again. Well, you had faulty. Maybe they were faulty. But I know I heard the voice walking up the stairs. The smoke of his presence. Because he's omnipresent, and he doesn't sleep in the middle of the night like I do. And he wakes me up all the time. All the time. Jeez, I must have been awake 50 million times last night. Everyday people, I don't want to lose sight of that. Do you know what he said to Amos? He said, you know what Amos said? Amos was just following the herd. He followed the flock and he pruned the trees and picked sycamores. He gathered in sycamores, figs, basically, right? That's all he did. And God said one day, boy, come with me. It's like Elisha, who was just, you know, he just had two oxen and he was just plowing in the field with 11 other teams. But God said, I pick you. Everyday people. not many wise, not many noble. God chose every one of us to carry His presence. Purge out the old so we could become a new lump. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And then he went and he prophesied. And what did the establishment say to him? Stop prophesying like this. You go prophesy over in Judah, but don't prophesy to us. Don't tell us what it's like. We already know what God's saying. And you know what he said? He said, my daddy wasn't a prophet, so I'm not a son of a prophet. I was just working, minding my own business in everyday life as an everyday person. And God said, go. You know, we have a mistake about when Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, he said that you would all prophesy. We think that's about holding a position as a prophet. It is not. Has nothing to do with that. But that's what the church thinks. It has everything to do to proclaim what God wants. That's all it really means. Watch. It means to foretell. Oh, foretell what? That which was already spoken. Oh, hallelujah. I'm excited. Why are you excited? He chose everyday people. Everyday people. Notice among yourselves, dear brethren, that few of you who follow Christ have big names or power or wealth. Instead, God has deliberately chosen to use the ideas the world considers foolish and of little worth in order to shame those considered by the world as wise and great. He has a chosen plan despised by the world, counted at nothing at all, and used it to bring down to nothing those the world considers great, so that no one anywhere can ever brag in the presence of God. I have a news flash, especially for young folks. God made you a square peg. Don't try to fit in a round globe. He chose you for His own purpose. Oh, wait, I don't think that's true. He chose us. We didn't choose Him. We just have to say yes to Him. And so I don't get a big head. I come to the realization that He chose foolishness or foolish people or watch everyday people. I like that He didn't go to the seminary schools to. How come I know what I know? I don't know. How come you know what you know? I don't. Oh, yes, we do. Christ. And don't think for a minute, you can go just about anywhere. I talk to a lot of Christians. And let me tell you, they might have some of the right words, but when you start finding out what the definitions are behind what they believe, God, I pray for them all the time. It's very hard to talk to people because everybody has all the answers. Greeks. I've really learned this, you know, because if we're talking about foolishness, right? I really am learning this. I said I should rephrase. I haven't quite learned it all the way. But Proverbs says, even a man, a foolish man, is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. You just learn to just shut up. Let people ramble on. You do. Why? God's in charge. Do you think if Elijah went over and started telling all those folks when they were jumping up and down those Baal of prophets, hey, God, your God's not going to answer because your God's not real? They would have listened to him? Not 1 minute. Because they had all the answers. Even Paul said, if I come and preach another Jesus, Don't listen to me if I do. Christ crucified, head and body, a people who love not their lives unto death. Why? So no flesh can glory. For it is from God alone that you have your life through Christ Jesus. He showed us God's plan of salvation. Now, see, we read that. We cannot leave that in the elementary stage of salvation only. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Well, so am I saved or aren't I saved? Yes. No. Yes. No. Well, which one is it? I'm saved. I'm being saved through a wilderness journey. Just because you're in the wilderness doesn't mean you're lost. We have GPS. God positions us, doesn't He? See, that's one of the biggest fallacies we have in the church, that God would lead you somewhere there you wouldn't go. I guarantee you that's where He's going to lead you. Why would you guarantee that? Because what He's really trying to get us to do is follow Him wherever He would go. Well, why would He go there? Because He wants to be king everywhere. It's simple. And it doesn't matter if it's visible or invisible. Well, wait, isn't He king everywhere? Well, technically, yes, but He wants it not by force. Right? He wants it by submission of non-force. A will that yields. A heart that gives. I mean, come on, those of us that have raised children, we know you can force your children to do something, but that doesn't mean their heart's right. My parents used to make us go to church whether we wanted to or not. And believe me, I didn't want to. I thank God the next generation, I don't have to deal with that. I have to deal with other things. Are you with me? Are you all right this morning? If I ask you one question, what would the title of this message be? Because you'll ask me what it is, right? What's the title of this message? Everyday people chosen by God. To do what? This doesn't have to be part of the title, but to purge out the old so we can become a new lump. A people that God can really, oh, truly. I know He loves us. And I know He cares for us. That's why He doesn't give up on us. But He requires something of me. And this is the part that young folks don't want. Responsibility. Accountability. Which takes effort. He isn't interested in us being able to stand on the sidelines with our phones. I told you already why there's a bite out of the apple. It's become the apple of our eye, when all along we are to be the apple of His eye. And if you want to know, because right, what do they always say? Eve ate the apple, right? That's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is technology, is what we love. Rebecca did it. She's not here. I mean, I'm just repeating what she said. It was much easier to go play the games and Pinterest and whatever things she was listing on her thing. Much easier to do that than to, you know, find God. And watch, I could question every one of you and you would all tell me, yes, I absolutely know that's true. We need to go to God first. But that, knowing the answer isn't the... Geez, don't make me, you know, I heard a preacher say not too long ago, I hate the book of James. I always avoided it, right? Well, because James, he's mean. He's tough. Watch this. This is what he says. Listen, if you know to do good and do it not, to you it's what? Sin. And we just read in Proverbs, sin is what? Disgraceful. You know why I only have this many people in my church? Doesn't bother me. If you all left, it would bother me. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't bother me as long as I know for sure I declare what God wants. I am not. We sing those songs. I'm only here to worship. True worship is in our decision making. And the decision we have to make is, do we hear God and voice what He says? And I did. 2 days ago, I heard Him. He says, I choose everyday people. To do what? He chooses everyday people so that He can express who He is through them when they go to work, when they're journeying along in life, so they can express who God is. I'm almost done. Galatians. Chapter 1. Are you there? Now, you know, he goes through the first part and he talks about the Galatians. They started one way and teachers, other voices, begin to convince them that it isn't necessarily the way that Paul once taught them. All right? Now watch this. Verse 13. Oh, I'm going to read out of the Living, so you can just listen. Sorry about that. Dear friends, I solemnly swear that the way to heaven that I preach is not based on some mere human whim or dream. Now, we hear the word heaven and we think up there, but I've already taught us well enough and you've heard and you've been around long enough that heaven, listen, everybody wants to get to heaven, never understanding that heaven lives inside of us. Do you believe there's a heaven over there? Well, over there, well, I don't know what over there means, but heaven is where God is. And last time I checked, He's omnipresent. I was reading the other day, I got a little sidetracked when I was doing some study because I started reading something about Jupiter and geez, Jupiter has like 27 moons, and all that does is just tell me how great God is. And we always want to put heaven up there or beyond there, but yet it all is encompassed in Him. And He says, I've come to put heaven or the realm of the Spirit in you. And the way to come to the fullness of that, corruption must put on incorruption and mortal must put on immortality, and then the kingdom is offered up. It becomes an offering. Oh, too much to teach. Dear friends, I solemnly swear the way to heaven that I preach is not based on some mere human whim or dream, for my message comes from no less a person than Jesus Christ Himself, who told me what to say no one else has taught me. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I went after Christians mercilessly, hunting them down and doing my best to get rid of them all. I was one of the most religious Jews of my own age in the whole country and tried as hard as I possibly could to follow all the old traditional rules of my religion. You know, people read that kind of stuff, and we've watched old-time Pentecost. I guarantee you, I probably shouldn't make this guarantee, but I guarantee you, most of your big-name preachers who are preaching against the law grew up in Pentecost or the Old Assembly of God, and what they're really preaching against was the rules and regulations that man made. You can't watch television. You can't drink a Coca-Cola. You can't go to the movies. You can't do all that stuff. Now, we've opened the door to let people do that, and what have we done? We eat brownies with poop in it. You'll get that later. A little leaven. It was really legalism, and it wasn't had nothing to do with the law. So now we have most of these people preaching a whole new generation of folks. What they're really teaching them is the spirit of rebellion. And if you don't think so, just look in the lifestyle of them. Not their income levels or their, it's the heart. Everyday people. Everyday people. What did Brother Viner always say? They got up out of the ditch of legalism, ran right across the street with a full head of steam and landed in the ditch of what? License. And what is a ditch? It's an open-ended grave. It has no end. What did Proverbs say? The grave never says what? Enough. We can be all religious as we want. We can even preach kingdom message like we do. But let me tell you, the grave doesn't stop. I just recently heard someone on a video just say this. Oh, if I could just live to 120 years. God said that way back then. He's not even interested in 120 years. He's interested in eternity. Watch, if you don't think that's the case, watch. Tenth in the Old, in the New Testament, was your all. I hope I'm just making you think. Now, if you get mad at me, that's okay. That's your choice. Are you with me? But then, verse 15, I love this. But then something happened. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for something happening. For even before I was born. If you're a second or a third generation of a Christian family, you can understand that. But when you become a firstborn of a generation, you do not understand the responsibility you have on your life. And the responsibility is all the generations in the natural you'll bring after you. You may never change your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your auntie, your uncle. You may never change them, but you have to know that God chose you because he was choosing foolish things. Or watch this, everyday people. Just because you're grown in a family, third generation, fourth generation, that doesn't give you automatics. That's another false teaching in the church. Everything's automatic because we're new creations. Kaylee, you just finished driver's ed. How many segments? No, how many have you finished? One. So can you go out and drive whenever you want? But you could throw a hissy fit, right? Even steal mama's keys. But if you get caught on the road, what's going to happen? Won't get to drive because she hasn't come to the place that fulfills the requirement, right? That's been established. And if we don't think the law has been established, Jesus came and fulfilled it by having it completely written inside of him. And until you and I come to that place, come on, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he said, I'll put my laws in your inward parts, and I'll write it on your hearts, and you'll be my people, and I will be your God. And then he starts with the very next chapter, the first verse, therefore, dearly beloved, having these precious promises, let us cleanse ourselves so we can fulfill the requirement of his promise to become all. Watch. Here we go. something happened even before I was born. God had chosen me to be his and called me, what kindness and grace, to reveal his son within me that I could go to the Gentiles and show them the good news. Did you notice how he said, show them the good news? Do you remember, anybody remember? What did Jesus say to Paul when he apprehended him on the road to Damascus? He said, Saul, Saul, why kickest thou against the pricks, right? And then he said he was going to send him and he was going to abuse him, didn't he? I'm going to make you pay. And Paul did, didn't he? Even with his life. But he never gave up. Everyday people. Now, Paul was kind of a shooter. That's why it says not many wise and not many noble. Do you love the Lord this morning? He's after something, isn't he? What's he after? Us. You ever try to fit in? Never do. Joseph had 11 siblings. Oh, wait, he might have more than that because he had a sister, too, that we know of. He still didn't fit in his own house. Why? Why? God's way. This is. Everyday people must purge out the old and become his new lump. Amen? Watch this. Keep the feast of unleavened bread every single day. We have hang-ups still that need to be hung up. We have character flaws that need to be ironed. Spots that need to be cleaned. Watch this. Hear it. He resists the proud. But he gives grace. What is grace? It's the unmerited favor that enables us to perform his will. Whew. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Sorry I don't have you swinging from the chandeliers, but you know. Are you glad God called you? Yeah. He saw us, right? He definitely chose us before we were ever born. He knew. He really did know. And his desire is the same, that his son would be seen in us, conformed to the image of the son. And the cool thing about that is God's not making supermen individuals. That's another fallacy we have going on in the church. God's making me a superman. I can do all things through Christ. Jeez, go read the Bible. It doesn't really say that. Not many wise, not many noble. Just think about it. Pause. Selah, Selah, Selah. Think of that. Do you know what the Selah means? It means a suspension, a pause. God speaks, we get to listen. And in that listening moment, we get to make choices. Whoa, hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Or would we rather be like the Old Testament folks in Moses' church? Just don't talk to us, just cover your face. I'd rather not hear this. We'd rather go get the golden calf, right? Joshua was his right-hand man. He said, it sounds like war. And Moses said, no, it's not war. They're having a party. Lord, we love you. We praise you, Father. For your word is alive. It's real. Oh, wait, I like this. His word is fire. It comes to cleanse us. Do you pray, God, purify me? Because that's what he told us to counsel him. Or he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Whew. Father, I pray that you take this word. Not just seal it to our hearts, but make it alive within us. That God, we would pursue you, chase you, run after you. Like David wrote, that we pant like a hart after the brooks, after the water. So God, that we might know you and see the fullness of who you are, not just in an individual, but oh God, in a corporate man. Even a first fruit company, oh God, that can be waved before creation. That not only did you just do it in Jesus, but you can do it in a people. And then God, you can bring in an ingathering so that you can bring us to tabernacles, that we can become the fullness of what you desire. God, you marked us, you called us a first fruit company. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when Elijah, see, I can't stop, but listen, Elijah, first the ravens fed him, then the widow fed him, but when he was running from Jezebel, the angel came and fed him. And every day, manna comes down from heaven. And he says to us, just like he told Elijah, eat the meat that I've given you, and you can go in the strength of it. Amen? I tell you, this is a fantastic thing that God has called everyday people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.